All right. I'm ready.
You feeling good?
No, my back hurts, but it's okay.
Oh,
it's
my.
Been feeling
Do you
that.
Need a stretch?
No. It's been... I drove for like 20 plus hours in the car.
Oh, no.
I got to go to the chiropractor this week. So.
Yep. Get that all worked out.
Yep.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my not-so-salty friend, Ian.
Yeah, me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful you are here with us. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we're at the featured table, taking a page out of the Two Top book, and we are going to do another double feature.
Woo!
First, we will discuss Acropolis, designed by Jules Massad, artwork by Pauline Dutraz, and published by Gigamic Games.
Acropolis is a 1-4 player tile playing game where players will attempt to become the chief architect in ancient Greece. Players will build their best city composed of houses, markets, temples, gardens, and barracks. Whoever builds the most magnificent city is given their own magnificent garden to view their glorious creations as the master architect.
Wow. We will follow that up with Sea Salt and Paper, designed by Bruno Cathala and Theo Riviere, artwork created by Lucien Durain and Pierre-Yves Gallard, and published by Pandasaurus Games.
Sea Salt and Paper is a set collection game for 2-4 players, where players will look to collect beautiful pieces of origami to create an ocean of paper. I'm not sure how that works, but you create an ocean of paper. They will use these different ocean-themed paper to build an undersea world and score the most points before their opponent does. Whoever breaks the winning number of points becomes a deep sea creature of themselves, I guess, and you win the game.
As we discuss, we'll find out, have we built a masterpiece under the sea? Or is it truly just a pile of salt?
Yes. Also that. We're also building a masterpiece above the sea.
True.
Above sea level.
I was trying to incorporate both of them.
I see that.
It didn't work well because an Acropolis is up on the hill, which is the exact opposite.
Above and below the sea.
Oh, and yes, very good. In fact, Ian, this is an incredible segue into the question of why are we talking about these two games together?
Oh boy.
They have nothing to do with each other.
I don't know. It's a great question.
Ian, we're talking about them together because we're going to be teaching them at Funkytown Con coming up here in a couple of weeks in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, Knoxville.
Very excited.
The OG.
The Nashville boys are heading east.
Where all the fun is, out in Knoxville.
That's what they tell me anyways.
That's
I don't
what
know.
They say. I don't know. We're about to find out, though. We're going to bring the fun. I don't know if they'll probably have fun.
They already have the funk, is what
they do.
Alluded to.
But we will also have the fun town. We're bringing the town of fun to the funk town.
Perfect.
Yes. But anyway, we
will
be
there. They are never going to invite us back.
Yeah, we... But it is Knoxville's grooviest board game weekend, so we will be there. And we'll be teaching these games. So we're reviewing these games because of that. But also, I think, honestly, both of these have kind of been on my radar to get plays in and review. So what a convenient time for us.
It is, in fact, a convenient time. And hey, if you're local or looking to take a flight, we would love to see you in Knoxville. So
yeah.
Come join us at Funkytown. Just give it the quick Google search and you'll be able to find them. Or you can go over to fun-k-town.com.
Yes.
Again, we would love to see you there.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that was our question. Was that your question?
Well, I know you've never been to Greece.
I've never been to Greece, and
do you want to go to Greece one day?
I do.
I do too.
It is on the list. Mediterranean is a place I want to go. I've seen very little of it, and it was mostly in an airplane. I never got to see. Yeah, I didn't get to actually see the Mediterranean Sea, but I know I want to go back to the area. I was in Italy, but I didn't get to go to Greece, and Greece was would be on the list.
Yeah.
Really, any area over there, but there's a lot of good. My wife's family goes on some cruises in the sea, but also in the rivers and stuff. So cool. So I would totally do that. I want to do that. So it's on the radar at some point.
So what you're saying is you could go on a boat and play sea salt and pepper,
sea salt and paper.
I've done that literally every day of my life since I've learned about this game. Yeah. I hate it. And then you could get into the port of Greece and play Acropolis.
That's right.
In Greece.
That would be, yeah, we could do that.
I feel like that's your ultimate goal right now, off of this episode.
I mean, I don't know if I'd bring both of these games to that, but I don't know how much space I have, but yes, I would, that would be great if I could do that.
That would be very meta for this episode. If you did that,
it would be.
Just think of the traction that could get for the podcast.
Yeah. In like 20 years from now when I finally make it over there. But yeah.
Nursing salary, everyone.
Anyone want to donate a trip, then yes, I will gladly play both these games in Greece.
You know, someday when we've made it big and we start asking for Patreon money, which, you know, maybe happens someday, long time from now, we'll make that a stretch goal or something.
Stretch goal. Ian to play Acropolis in sea salt and paper.
Not
in
pepper.
No
pepper here.
In Greece. Yep.
That's right.
So anyway.
Very good.
Well, yeah. So starting with Acropolis.
That's right. Easy.
Yeah. It's a very interesting game, and I want to know more about it, Jared.
So I can tell you how to play?
Yes.
Perfect.
I give you permission.
That's very kind of you. All right. So Acropolis is a pretty simple game, and in this game, you are starting with a singular tile, and you are going to be building out with tiles from there. I don't really know what the shape is called for these tiles, but essentially it's three hexagons put together to make a little triangular hexagon shape. I know that there are some people out there that are cringing right now at the terrible shape choices that I chose.
I don't know what the name of them are, but yeah.
I think I did a great job of describing them.
Great.
However, you have this one bigger tile that starts as your base, and then you will draft tiles to then become part of your city. These tiles, like I said, they're three hexagons that are smushed together to make one tile. Each hexagon within that trifecta, if you will, has a different or same icon on it. They are either one of three types: districts, plazas, or quarries. Quarries. How do you say that word?
Quarries?
Quarries.
Quarries.
What, not quarries.
No, that's
a question.
That's a question.
That's a different word.
That's what you just asked me.
Quarries.
You were quarrying.
Quarry.
Quarrying about the quarries.
Very good. So, quarries are where you get stone and whatnot, which is the economy of the game. It's a very limited part of the game, but it is also very important for specific times in the game. So, on your turn, everyone shares a construction zone in the middle of the table. On your turn, you can pick the tile to the rightmost end of the table, and you can take that one for free. And you can add it to your board in whatever way that you see fit. And you can connect it.
Oh, that's good. See fit, because you fit it into your city. Oh.
So you connect it at least on one side to another tile that you already have in your city. And then the next person goes. And then you keep working around the table, going through tiles. Each district, so Ian mentioned them in the beginning, will be either houses, markets, barracks, gardens, or temples. So you want to have them in your city, but they have to follow certain rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, two markets cannot be right next to each other because
they would compete with each other.
They would compete, and that would not make them happy.
Yeah, no, can't do that.
Barracks want to protect the city, so they want to be around the outside edge.
Makes sense.
Housing wants to be together.
I like to be together.
I mean, people love community and all that.
Yeah.
Temples want to be completely surrounded. They are the influence of the city and all that.
That's right.
And then
religious
gardens
propaganda.
And parks can be anywhere and everywhere because everyone likes parks.
Everybody loves a good park.
That's right.
around the propaganda temples.
So then, once you've got some of these in your city, to actually score them, you need to add plazas, which is the third type that could be on one of these hexagons. Plazas are going to be the same colors as these five types of districts, but instead of having the actual district image on it, it's going to have a colored star or multiple stars.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, you're going to be able to multiply the number of plaza stars that you have by that particular district that has followed the rules. So if at the end of the game, I have 6 market plazas and I have 8 markets in my city that all follow the rules as they're supposed to, then it would be 6 times 8 for 48 points.
Mm.
And I would look at the players at the table and question why they allowed me to do such a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, if that was not enough, Ian, there's more to this game.
There
because
is.
Because as you are aware, an Acropolis is up on a hill.
Mm.
And so you might want to build up on your city.
Yes.
If you want to build up, you have to follow the certain rules to be able to, you have to sit on multiple tiles. You have no hangover or anything like that as far as your tiles sitting on open space. But assuming you follow all those rules, then you will get to double everything on that tile because it's at the second level.
Yep.
So it's worth 2 points now instead of 1. And then if you manage to get a third level, everything would be worth 3 points instead of 2. So that adds an extra layer to it. And there's a nice give and take of deciding when to build up versus building out.
Right.
Last but not least, we mentioned the quarries earlier. So when you're drafting from the middle, you might not want the very first one.
Usually not.
You might want the second or the third or the fourth one. Well, to do that, you've got to spend some of your stone to be able to get one of those. You start out with a little bit of stone, but to gain more stone, you have to cover up your quarries. And for each quarry that you cover up, you get 1 stone. And that is how you get more resources. So eventually, either you're going to get really lucky or you are going to have to build upwards. Once you've gone through all the tiles and the game is very clear about how to set up for different player counts, the game is over. You tally up all 5 of the districts and how many points each player scored. And then whoever had the most points wins.
That's how we play. That's how we build. You build with stone. We're not building with paper in this game.
That is true. Only stone and very thick tiles. I would like to start with 2-3 component pieces that I am thrilled with.
Okay.
Number 1, thick tiles.
Yes.
Excellent.
They're like thicker than most tiles in other games.
They are very thick.
It's like,
and I am
twice
very
as thick.
Very pleased.
Yeah, I mean it's nice. It's a big chunky piece.
Yep. They are the right size, both thickness and actual width. Yep. I feel like I've built out a little city when I'm done. So very happy with the component of that. Second component that I really love, one of the best cheat sheets in gaming that I've seen.
It's pretty good.
Not only, Ian, does it give you all the information that you would need, it gives you the card counts or the tile counts for all 3 player counts. So not just 2, not just 3, but even at 4, it tells you exactly how many you're working with for that player count.
It does do that.
I love it.
I think you're blowing it out a little out of proportion.
Nope.
But
nope.
But yes, it is nice.
I cannot believe that you do not have respect.
I do have respect.
You're looking at me like I'm being completely ridiculous.
I mean,
right,
you're
now.
Not being ridiculous. You're just a little over the top. Slightly ridiculous.
Maybe I'm overselling it a little bit. But I still think
it is very nice.
Very nice. The third thing that I will add, the rule book is great.
Yeah.
For a game that should be plug and play, the rule book helps it do just that.
Yeah.
So I'm very pleased with all 3 phases of those components.
Very well done. Component, rule book, player aid, gameplay, very straightforward. A little bit, that first game is a little bit of a learning curve, like all games. Just trying to figure out like what you want to do. It takes me about halfway through to really get settled in on what I'm like, what am I doing?
So I would agree with that from like going deeper with it.
Yeah.
But I think from a point of entry of just getting started, super easy.
No, it's not creating any like barriers of entry
right
at all. No. There's going to be 1 or 2 tiles that you're really interested in. You pick one, you pay for it or not, and you play it. Like there's not a whole lot there to start. Like, if you're just learning, you're like, okay, I'll just take this tile. And as you play the game more and more, you're like, okay, now I'm seeing, okay, I kind of want that. I want something that does this instead.
Right.
So the more you play, you kind of figure out some things that you want to do. But early entry to the game, no real issues. It's more trying to figure out, okay, well, what is the strategy underlying here that I'm trying to figure out? And so you're developing that knowledge as you're playing the game. It took me about halfway through and you're like, okay, I understand what's happening now.
Yeah.
So, but no issues learning or playing. That was just more like the strategic part.
Our strategy
of
perspective.
How am I maximizing points at this point?
Sure.
Excellent. Again, cardboard, I love big chunky game pieces and this provides it. They are massive. They're uniquely shaped. Yeah. They got the hexagons and I'm trying to think of another game that uses components like that or any type of shape like that, but none come to mind because it's very interesting. But
I mean, that's not a good reference, but they do.
Yeah, the little three. Yeah, it's like a little, the little three hex. Yeah, they do have similar things like that. Yeah, that's how that'd be one, but not many people know what that game is. So there is a new version coming out. But anyway, so yeah, no, excellent work. The time of the gameplay is also fairly quick. We played a couple 2-player games and knocked it out.
20 minutes apiece. Yeah. Not even.
Yeah, fairly easy there. Now, as we get a little deeper here, like the thing, as you're developing and playing tiles, you're really trying to build a base of buildings or are they, they're not built, I guess they're kind of buildings.
They are buildings.
Yeah. But you're trying to get those quarries in early for me. Like when I'm building, I'm looking to try to build a base of quarries and then build up on top of them because you're not like, that's not points being scored. You don't want to cover up things frequently that you're getting points from. I did do it this last game and I won. I scored a lot of points that way and I covered up a couple buildings.
Yep.
So it depends on what you're trying to do, but
I think you got to be okay if you don't get a bunch of the resources and things you're not really going for early.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be okay sacrificing a little bit to gain more for a longer term play.
Yeah.
And learning that piece does take a little bit of time.
Yeah, I got that more in my second game than the first game. Yeah. But anyway, you're building a base and you are collecting some, you know, some parks and whatever. Like you're trying to build as you go, but you do want to collect a couple quarries because when you build on the second level, it gives you more resources to buy for, you know, later turns, mid game, late game. But you're building up and that's allowing more points to be scored on those other buildings later. Cause when it's on the second level, you're getting those 2 points where if it's, you know, third level, 3 points. And so you're getting those bonus points for the higher you build up. And that's what's fun because you're trying to build a base. And then as you're like, okay, this tile could work on the second level and you place it there. But you're like, now I want to get something next to it now or something like that. It starts to like create this engine of like ideas. It sparks the ingenuity of building. And it is really fun as you're drawing. And it's not like you have a ton of options. You know, you have up to the, four tiles or whatever, like depending. And so, and then, you know, you don't want to spend 3 resources every time to go get the furthest tile. So you can't do that every time. You know, usually you're taking the first or second tile. And so it, you know, you're working with what you have. And that creates ease of play to me. I don't like to every single turn be thinking, oh, okay, I have to think about, okay, how do I get this in my board and have to score this many points later on? No, I have 2 tiles to pick from. Which one has the best for my city right now? I'm going to pick that one. Where do I play it? It's probably one of these 3 spots because I don't want to cover up most of my board. So it's going to go maybe one of, and I already have an idea where it's going. So the game kind of pushes you in a good way. It just pushes you in a direction and you can take that, you can misdirect it or whatever you want frequently, but the game kind of just guides you. And that's what's really cool about it. And it allows you to be creative and come up with some like cool combinations and stuff like that. But it also, you could just willy nilly just throw the tiles down and be totally fine too. So
yeah, no, completely agree with all that. I really like the tactics of this game where you can be going for something early and then realize you've got to pivot. And when you pivot, you're still okay. You're not necessarily out of the game. You're kind of working with what is being flipped over.
And you're scoring points on everything. So,
well, not necessarily. I mean, I'm thinking about a game that I played where I started out with four or five blue plazas, but I mean, ultimately, I never ended up with a lot of the blue housing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to cover these up with something else because that's going to score me better. And I ended up getting like 4 points out of blue that time.
Right.
Because that's just how the tiles fell. But I got to score a lot of points in other areas. So
right.
You're not necessarily scoring everything every single time.
Everything you playing down is helping you to some extent because even if you cover up, like, you're like, okay, I tried to go for markets early, but I just didn't get, like, it just got drawn before me. Wasn't able to draw any more. Then you just cover them up and it gives you play. Then you don't care about going upwards and it's helping you in the end. Like going up, never hurts. Going up is always helpful, even if you're covering something a lot of the time, unless it's like a big point, you know, token. But
I do agree with that. And I think those stone pieces come even more important when you get into that 3 and 4 player game, especially 4 players.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at only so many tiles and you're like, man, there's no way that tile gets back around to
me. I need it.
I need it now.
Yeah, I need to get it.
And there are times where you need that. Like, you know that what's going to be left over. And it's one of those games where you can kind of anticipate what people are wanting. And if you don't take it, then you know you're never going to see it.
Yeah.
So is that worth it to you?
Right.
So I do like that piece. I this game hits a lot of boxes for me. It's super simple. It's one of those games. I like these tile laying, put a puzzle together in the way that you want to build it kind of the games.
Yeah.
And I do like that it's one of those games that you can get in like 20 minutes. Even in a 4-player game, half an hour. Like it's just not long. It clips.
You play 11 piles, right? It's piles that you stack together.
Yeah,
it's 11.
And you stack them up based on player count.
Right. But you're always getting the same amount of turns, it sounds like, relatively
speaking. Everything stops the correct way.
Right.
Everyone gets the same amount of turns. And so I like that built-in timer because you only have so many turns to do what you need to.
Right.
And so that's very nice as well.
Yeah. And again, anytime you can have a three-dimensional stack of cards or whatever, or tiles or pieces, always great. And so, yeah, when I'm building up, I feel like I actually achieve something, which is always great. And so that it's very satisfying to, because the last game we played, it took me the whole game, but I eventually got my housing to get up on the third level, and it like made this whole big area of housing.
Yeah.
But it
and that won you the game.
Yeah. But it did. It took me a while to get there, but I was like, okay, this is my plan. I'm gonna build a layer, and my houses don't connect at all. And then last couple turns of the game, I pieced some houses on top, made one big area. It is super satisfying because you're looking at it like, that's really cool. My housing is going upwards. My city's going upwards, and it's really fun to kind of build. But again, like you said, this takes a tile laying. Most tile laying games, you know, it's just like linear on your table. It's going left and right and up and down, I guess, but it's not going vertically at all. And this is going vertical. And so it's not just, you know, side by side. There's plenty of tile laying games where it is like that. You're just building like a big area of tiles, but this, you're doing that on top of going upwards and vertical. And so it just changes the way you kind of think about it. There's multiple times I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I could play this here and this could be 1 or 2 points, but if I play it over here, it's going to give you way more points, even though it's covering something, but like it's going upwards as you get those extra points.
Right.
And so it adds a dimension that not a lot of tile laying games have of also thinking about the vertical aspect of it and not just playing it side by side to other tiles.
And speaking of adding a dimension to it, another thing that this game has that I really like is that it adds a variation in the scoring so that once you've kind of gotten a good feel for the game, you've moved beyond the family weight level, which if that's what you're at, that's great.
Yeah.
If this didn't have the variant and you only played at the family level, I would still really enjoy this game.
Yeah.
But adding the variant level for more of a gamery game where there's an extra layer to think about, I also really enjoyed. So it enhanced all of the rules with an extra rule for each of the districts. And if you completed those rules, then you doubled your score for that particular tile.
Yeah.
So I liked that variant. I like that the game builds that in so that people aren't just making it up and who knows if it's balanced or not. They've actually given some time to that. So I appreciated that part of it as well.
it adds like, it just adds more points available to the board. And that's always good because when you play a game like this over and over again, like you get into the same rhythm of building. You're like, okay, I'm just throwing tiles down to score the most points. But when you add the variance, it just adds another thing to think about. It also gives you another thing to think about other players' cities because you're like, okay, they can't grab that token right now. Because in the one I keep thinking of is the temple, because the temple in the variant, basically the higher up it is, you know, it's giving you even more points. It's doubling when it's on the top of things.
Yep.
And so there was multiple times I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I don't need this temple and don't have a good spot for it, but I cannot get, because I see a slot that he could put it in. I cannot give this to him right now. It's going to give him so many points. So yeah, I like the variants, but I also love, I played the base game to start and then added the variants. Both are great. I think the variants help with the replayability.
Sure.
It's not taking away from the game or adding a ton of significant things.
Never have to use it if you don't want to.
Yeah, but it's adding replayability that makes it fun. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything about the game you don't like?
No.
No, I get it. Like, it's not, it's one of those games, like, when you understand what it's there for, then it really is in a great place. It is a filler game. So I'm not going to sit here and play this game 4 and 5 times in a night.
No.
But when I've finished up either one game and I'm moving into something heavier, but I want to do something light before I do that, or if we're kind of between games, we're like, hey, we're waiting on this other crew to finish up. What do you want to do? A quick 20 minute, here you go.
Yeah.
And it's easy for everybody to jump into. So yeah, I also don't have hardly any critiques that I can think of for this game.
I mean, I compare it, you know, it replaces a game for me is, you know, something like King Domino or Queen Domino or even Carcassonne, which is older, just something like that, where it's just adding an extra element and there's no tokens. It's just the tiles. So it creates a simplicity thing for me. You know, there's not as much of a drafting necessarily, but like, I don't know. It's kind of doing some things that some of the other tile laying games aren't doing. Not that those games are also great, but that, you know, this might be replacing some other games just because it's doing a lot inside of a box that those other games are also doing, because those games are also fast. A lot of the tile laying games are kind of on the time span kind of shorter, which is good. Yep. So this one does it well. I mean, it just fits right in, and I think it definitely replaces a couple other things if you want a new replacement to those. But yeah, there's not a whole lot wrong with this game. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good game.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play, and it's quick.
And there's despite the fact that you're kind of building your own thing, there is a decent amount of player interaction of the draft.
There is. Because they're taking tiles you want, and you take the tiles they want, and you know, sometimes they have to play defense too.
Right. Or sometimes you're both just going after the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just the way the turn order fell that time.
Yeah.
But
I think in two-player, I'm thinking, okay, I can't let him have this token, where in a four-player game, it's going to be gone. Somebody's going to take it if it's good.
Right.
So it's not as much of an issue. But in two-player, you are like, okay, all right, he's going for the temples. I can't give him this triple scoring. That's not going to work. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, grade for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one an 8. Yeah, I like this game. An 8 fits for me. It's not overly complex, but it has some really strong, good decision-making, and it's fun, and it's quick, and it only plays to 4, so I don't know what it would look like with more than 4 if you like made a version with more, but that's fine. Like it has a nice sweet spot with 1 to 4, and I don't think I have not tried the solo, but
no, I haven't either.
Again, yeah, it's good time, good player count is fine, and easy to one teach and learn. I picked it up in a couple minutes and it's fun. And so you get a lot of decision making in it, and that's what I like. And so yeah, an 8 out of 10 for me is where I would rank it, because it's not the best thing ever, I don't think, but I would say it's one of my favorite tile laying games for sure.
Nice.
I think, yeah, it would be on the list.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking about, like, okay, how do I grade this game? Because don't want to go back to that. But we're going to do it anyways. Wingspan. We talk about Wingspan all the time. All right.
It is our, like, It's our measuring stick.
That's our measuring stick.
It's our first, one of our first episodes.
So Wingspan sits in this place, right, where I would never hold it up against my favorite games.
Right.
Because I would not even view them in the same light.
Yeah.
And in the same way, like, I'm not going to put Acropolis up against something massively heavy. It's no Ark Nova. It's no Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid,
right,
which are two very different games, but I wouldn't measure it against either one of those.
Right, yeah, yeah. No, you got
to
compare it to
when you're doing it as a rating system, and I'm thinking about it from a filler game,
yeah,
I'm giving this game a 9.
Yeah.
I will happily, if anyone came over and was like, hey, what's Acropolis? Or, hey, Jared, I really liked that last time. Can we do Acropolis again?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I'm going to be happy to pull that off the shelf and play it.
For sure.
And I think that this game does exactly what I want in a filler game, where it's just thinky enough to where I still feel like I'm playing a game, mm-hmm, and I'm having to think about it, and it goes quickly and it's easy to teach.
Yeah.
That is everything I want in a filler game.
Totally. So, no, I totally agree. Yeah, no, it's definitely a good filler game. It works well. There's a couple that I would put above it, but yeah, totally. Who designed this again? This is
designed by Jules Massaud.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it is. I looked it up. This is his first game by himself. He had co-designed a game before this, but this is his first full-fledged.
Gotcha.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
Applaud Jules.
Very nice. And then the publisher is
Gigamic. I think I'm saying that right. I hope so.
Oh, they did. Okay. They do have some other good games. Wasn't aware of them. They've got a lot of they've got a lot of games. Well, I'm learning with you, the audience, today. I guess I don't know how that even happened, but
we're learning together.
Great Western Trail, Roll for the Galaxy, Flamer Rouge. There you go.
Nice.
So
I don't know. I think they're co-producing
And Point Salad, because who does Point Salad? It's AEG. So
I think, I'm going to speak out of turn here. I think they're more international.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
I'm going to say that without a full knowledge, but with full confidence.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So yeah, I mean, they're helping, you know, produce these other games, big titles, honestly, in other areas of the world. That's awesome. So.
Yep, absolutely. No, I really enjoy this one. I think they did a great job.
Yeah.
And Joel's awesome job.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, well, we'll take a break and then switch over from the air to the sea.
Right.
Gosh, these segues suck.
All right. Well,
sea salt and paper.
Moving on to a different game, which somebody is salty about.
Have you ever encountered a creature in the ocean before?
In the ocean.
Yeah, in the ocean.
Like, as in, I was in the water.
And you interacted with the creature.
I definitely felt something.
Mm.
Yeah, probably a crab or something like that.
A crab?
Yeah, probably.
Did it pinch you?
No, I probably kicked it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was swimming. Yeah.
I see.
But then I've seen some fish.
Cool.
And then my wife got stung by a jellyfish.
Wow.
But yeah, I did not pee on it. Let's be clear.
Let me be clear. Thank you for clarifying.
But we did think about it.
I like to picture, like, you and your wife are just sitting on the beach, and she's been stung, and it's starting to, like, swell up with this big old red balloon, and you guys are just having this casual conversation. You think I should pee on it?
That's kind of how it went, honestly.
I cannot believe you just stopped the recording, and then we had that interaction. That is a true disaster.
But, yeah. No, I have not had any other interactions. Well, I do take this back. So I wasn't in the water, but we were walking on the beach. It was late at night and it was like 10, but it was dark. There were some people fishing, night fishing at the beach. And so we're walking just with the in-laws and we're just strolling. And there was a bunch of night crabs and stuff that we were finding. But then I look over and they caught a freaking shark.
Whoa.
Yeah, like a shark that like probably like 4 or 5 feet wide. It was a baby shark.
Yeah.
But still, it was a shark.
Yeah.
And it's out, it's on the beach, and they're like, yeah, we caught this. And wow. So they're like trying to figure out how to put
what
it back.
To do with
and
it. Yeah. That's
like,
wild.
But it was really cool though. I'm like, that's a shark. You okay. Caught a shark. Good, good.
Jeez.
I'll go away now.
Yeah. So I got to, we were on some cruise and this was one of the excursions that they did, but we got to hang out with stingrays.
Oh.
And they come up and they like hug you and like flap all over your body or whatever.
Oh gosh, that would scare me so much.
Well, it took a lot of, it was a big leap of faith. I was like this, it was one of those moments where you're like, I'm going to do this. And I've resigned myself that like, if I die here, like it's just what it is. So
yeah,
but I've done that. I got to swim with dolphins one time.
Oh,
that was really
fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then one time I was walking along the beach like everybody does. And I just happened to have just my feet in the water and it was dark. And I was talking with a friend. And then all of a sudden I stopped talking to my friend and I started freaking out.
Oh, no.
And there was some weird slug looking fish thing that had like grabbed a hold of my foot and was sucking it like a parasite.
Oh,
and
my God.
You would have thought I caught on fire.
I'm catching on fire right now.
I fell on the beach and started shaking myself all over, and it flung off and went back in the water. And they were like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, you guys, I was just attacked.
I'm dying inside, Jared. That makes me, queasy.
I was so mad. I was like, I was just minding my own business here, just walking along the beach.
Weird, slimy creatures, I cannot handle.
They're the worst.
I handle a lot, but that I
that's where I draw the line.
I draw the line at some type of weird creature that crawls onto or into my body. No, thank you. I'll pass
a fan
on that.
Of parasites.
Yeah, which you don't have to handle in this game. It's sea salt and paper.
No.
So much no slimy animals.
No slimy. In fact, I will start with the most positive thing I can say about this game.
No.
The artwork is good.
The artwork is incredible.
It's very good.
It's good. Very good. So anyway, Jared, tell us about this game now.
Oh, you want me to tell you how to play?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't tell me your feelings. Just tell me how to play.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Maybe you should take this
or
one.
Or I can do it. It's also fine.
Let's caution to the wind.
Let's mix it up.
Let's mix it up.
Okay. let's see here. I got to grab the box.
This is great.
So this game is a set collection game where you'll be playing cards of, like I said before, the ocean themed origami. And so what you'll do is it'll be a deck of cards in the middle, along with two discard piles. On your turn, you will draw either a card from the discard pile, or you'll draw two cards off the top, pick one, and put the other one on one of the two discard piles. If one of the discard piles is completely empty, you have to put it there. Then, after you have drawn, there is a chance to play what they call the duo cards. And so duo cards are, there's a lot of different ones, but you can play these cards together in duo, and there's a couple different ones. But as an example, there is like a little paper boat. And so if you play two of those together, it allows you to take another turn. And so what it does is when you play these duo cards together, it gives you an action, essentially. It gives you an ability. On top of that, when you play that set together, it goes down face down in front of you, or face up in front of you, and it's part of your set collection and you're scoring points for that set. And it's usually just 1 point per set, but you get the point for the set. On top of that, you get the ability of the duo cards. So after you play as many duos that you have the ability to, if you want, you can play, it's not just one per turn, you can play as many as you want. Then you can decide to either end the game or
end the round.
Yeah, you play this game until there's
a certain amount of points,
and so you play rounds. But you can choose to end or stop the game. Or stop the round, sorry. Got to say the right word. or you can give the opportunity to last chance. If you stop, everybody scores their cards that they have in their hands, and you just score the points. Everybody scores. You put the numbers down. Like, so we played two-player a couple times. So we wanted 40 points. So whoever gets to 40 points, if you scored 10 that round, you write it down, you keep playing. Or you could last chance. If you last chance, it gives everybody except for you one more turn. And what they'll do is they'll play another turn and score as many points as they can. After everybody else is gone in the game, you score all the points. Whoever has the most points, if it's not, so let's say it's my turn and I ended my turn and I gave everybody a last chance. If I'm the top scorer, then everybody else will only score based off a specific card, which is the color bonus, which is the mermaid cards.
Very limited.
Yes, very limited. Only scores maybe like a couple points. Depending on how many you have, you might be able to score some good points. But or if I lost the bet, and even though I gave everybody the last chance, if I lost the bet, everybody else scores and I don't score anything other than color bonuses. So very interesting, the take on do I risk it and hope I have the most points or not. Now, like I said, when you draw these cards, you'll draw, let's say I draw two off the top. There's a lot of different cards. There's a couple different, like I said, the duo cards. And there's like, I think, four different types of the duo cards that you can play. On top of that, there's kind of, it's more, they're just like scoring point cards. So the more of those cards you have, the more points they're worth. So I'm looking at one now. It's an octopus. So if I have zero octopus card, or I have one octopus cards, it gives me 0 points.
Octopi.
If I have all of them, which is five, I'll get 12 points. Mm. And these I cannot play in front of me. They have to be stay in my hand. And then whenever we score, I would reveal what's in my hand.
So I would have no idea that that's what you have.
Right. So the only ones you're actually laying down in front of you will be the duo cards, because you're playing them for the effect and they'll stay in front of you for the rest of the game. They don't go anywhere. But those are the only ones that get revealed. Everything else you score from your hand at the end. And there's a lot of these. There's like five or six different types of, honestly, the same one. But they all, on the bottom right of the card, will say how many number of those cards are in the deck.
Right.
And so there's a couple. There's like an anchor. It only has two. And we hate this card. But it scores 0 points for having one of them, but 5 points for having the only two in the deck. And so there's a couple like that. There's also ones that allow you to, like, the most amount of sailboats you have, you get points. And one last card that is incredibly important is the mermaid card. Mm. The mermaid card, if at any point you have the only four, there's four in the deck, if you have all four of the mermaid cards, you automatically win the game. Not just the round. And I'm saying the right words this time.
You are.
You automatically win the game if you get four of the mermaid cards. On top of that, the mermaid card will score on some colored cards that you have in your hand at the end of each round. But if you get all four of them, you win automatically. So, but they're really good cards by themselves. They score high points. They can score high points just having them in general. So they're great cards. I don't think you would ever really discard those. So yeah, that's really how you do it. Pretty straightforward. It's just writing some sets and playing some cards. There is a lot of player interaction because there's a couple cards that you can steal from another player's hand. And you're also picking up a lot of what the other players are playing or discarding into the piles and stuff like that. So lots of options there. That's how you play, Jared.
I'm so proud of you, man. You did a great job.
I'm just preparing.
Yeah, we are teaching these games at this con that we're going to. So we got to be prepared.
So you go first on this
one. Yeah, it's probably
please.
For the best.
Yes, it is for the best.
All right. So while I was listening to you give that very illustrious how to play, I was doing some inner reflection.
Okay.
Because I did not really enjoy myself playing this game. I think it was okay. I think is a word that is kind in this situation.
Wow.
And I hate to be that way because I like a lot of different games and I like to be positive about games. And I wonder if I just came into it with the wrong attitude and I expected it to be something that it wasn't.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't really know. But of the games that I've played of this game so far, and I've tried really hard to like it because I do have this teach coming up and I want to be very positive. And I will be positive when I'm teaching it. Like, I can do that. But for me personally, this game was a bit of a disappointment. I will say I want to get to the positives first before I just jump in.
I see.
It's always good to start positive.
Yes.
So like I said, the art is great. I do want to applaud them for coming up. I mean, obviously, I don't think they came up with it. I don't know. I'm too ignorant to know the correct process for this, but someone has come up with a coding system for colorblind people.
Yeah.
And they have implemented it into this game, which is important because there is a lot of colors in this game.
Yeah, the colors do matter.
And very much so. And so the fact that they took that into consideration is awesome. And so I do want to applaud them for that.
Yeah.
I do like the amount of interaction that is in this game. There were so many times that I would draw two cards and I would immediately be like, why did I do this? I don't want to give him either one of these.
Oh man.
And I think this is supposed to be a very zen game.
Yeah.
I was not zen.
No.
Very stressed, very frustrated most of the time.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of where I was coming from with it. But as far as I do like the player interaction, I do like that you can come up with these different sets. And I guess I will say the other thing for me is that I like the tension of when do I call it? I've got a good setup here. Do I keep trying to claim points? Do I try to catch the other players in the fact that they don't have points? And yeah. That's part of what you have to learn in playing this game is when to give it up.
Right. It's an interesting, the balance of knowing when, because the round doesn't just end like randomly, unless you like deck out, which would be hard to do. But
I think it's a lot easier in a 4-player game.
Yeah, maybe in a 4, but in a 2-player, not so much.
That's right.
The players determine when the round ends. And I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool because you're sitting there and you're like, okay, because you always know the points that you have down on the table already, the sets that you've put down. And you're like, okay, well, I know he has 2, but I have 5. And I guess I didn't say this earlier. The only way you can end the game is when you definitely have 7 points.
The round.
I'm sorry.
Goodness
keep
gracious.
Saying it. You can end the round only if you have 7 points.
Right.
If you have less than that, you can't do that part. You have to just pass your turn. But if once you hit 7, you have the ability to end it.
And that's in hand and on the board.
Yes. Yeah, so you
can have like only a point on the table
exactly.
And still be able to do it if you want to.
Exactly. I think that's a really cool mechanic. I really do. I think that's really fascinating. And it adds a lot of things. Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I got like 10 points, but you also have 4 on the board and you have a whole hand of cards. I'm like, is you have a lot of points in there or not? And so it's a really cool mind game that you're playing there. And I think that's really, really fascinating. Also, yeah, again, the artwork is really, really cool. I love it. It's cute. It's fun.
It's all origami.
Yeah, it's all origami.
I don't know like how they took the pictures or if they took pictures or if they did some kind of computer CGI thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is very cool.
It is. It's really cool. The cards all look really good. I think the symbols on the symbols that you're looking for, all of these are on the top left of most. It tells you how many cards are in each of that type are on the bottom right. And I think they're all laid out super, super well. I did not have difficulty. The symbols, you have a little player aid that tells you what the symbols do. And so I figured it out in the first round. But the round 2, I was ready to go. And so fairly easy to learn.
I would agree with that. It is easy to learn. It is easy to jump into. And it's not, I mean, there is strategy to it, but it's also a card game where you're drawing cards, making a decision and moving on.
It's a set collection card game that you only get 1 or 2 cards to pick from each turn. And so that it's, severely limited on the overall collection, but really, really good. I like this one. I think it's a solid card game. It's a card game. It's just cards.
It is a card game. I felt like, I mean, it is. So the description on BGG alludes that it's like Rummy And in a way, it is.
Yeah.
It's a rummy evolved game.
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of something else, but I couldn't pin it. But it's very straightforward. If you like that sort of game, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
I think this game will speak to a lot of people. I was looking at a lot of the art online, and it's one of those games that I would love to like.
Mm.
I came into this game saying, I'm going to love this game. Not because I was trying to force myself to love it. I was genuinely excited about it and thought it would be a game that I would really enjoy. But there are some things about it that I just don't really care for. To me, it does feel like just a swingy card game. You know, a rummy game or a basic card game centered around a deck of cards, I can do that and look at some pretty art online, and I'm probably going to be in a better mindset because I'm not playing a card, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
A more legitimate, like, trying to be a game card game. So I don't like the swinginess of it where, you know, it can be like, I mean, you were just completely destroying me in the first game. And I was kind of terrified because in the last round, I was just going for the mermaids. Like, that's all I wanted to go for.
Yeah.
And I got 3 out of 4 of them.
Yeah.
So, like, how frustrated would you have been?
Right.
If I'd have gotten the mermaid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We had another game where I just swung completely the other way. I don't know. So, with that, it was already kind of frustrating. I think it does give you enough cards that it feels like it's going to be different. It is kind of weird when you look at the anchor, for example, that we've already mentioned that we hate.
Yeah.
And it says there's only 2 of them in the whole deck. And then you manage to find the second one right after you chuck the first one.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is happening?
Yep.
So it's just little stuff like that.
There are ways to go back into the discard pile, though.
You're right. There's all that.
Yep.
I'm not trying to be whatever about it. I think, and here's confession time, I think there are things about the components of the game that have influenced my feel of the overall of this game.
I would say yes. There are significant issues. But can we, so one, go ahead.
I'm all over the place.
Do your rant about the cards, but about the card quality.
Okay.
But then also, did we figure out if it's a first printing, second printing issue, or?
I think that's part of it.
Okay.
I don't think that's the extent of it.
I see.
I think the second printing made it worse.
Right. Okay.
So, this game prides itself on being pretty.
Right.
If this game isn't pretty, no one cares. This game would be lost to time.
It would be, yes.
It would not have made it. But because it's pretty, it has gotten to the table and it stands out as this little bitty card game that everyone loves. But as good as the art is, the card quality sucks. It is awful. I feel like I'm holding on to a really cheap, flimsy, like, piece of paper kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not great.
And then, if that wasn't enough, I bought the expansion to go with it, which is like a little $5
card.
It's like a 13 card ad. Or whatever.
Not even that many cards.
Whatever.
Don't give it credit.
Whatever. So the expansion it's still not great, but it's better.
Yeah.
It's got the thicker card stock. You can immediately tell the difference.
Yes.
As soon as you put them in, it's a different shade of white along the edges. The thickness is different. The stiffness is different. I don't know how this happens.
I don't know.
What is the cherry on top? For all of this. This happened in a second printing.
Yep.
You went from a stronger card stock to flimsy garbage after it was popular.
Yeah.
And one more thing. And I know everyone loves these super cute small box things that you can just slap on a shelf anywhere and it can go anywhere and all that. That's great. Make it big enough to where I can sleeve the cards.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be super pretty. I do too. And I want it to stay that way.
Right.
And yes, I know I can go buy another copy for the same price that it is for the game. Probably. If I do high-end sleeves.
Yes, you could.
But I don't want to do that. I don't want to just endlessly be throwing paper back into recycling and buying new stuff. I want to take care of the stuff that I have.
Right.
But I can't do that in this game because the box is too small to handle sleeves.
The box is as big as the cards. Literally, like,
there's not even an inch of clearance. There's zero room. I took all the cards out. You can't even buy itself without a card in it. You cannot put a sleeve in it and it will lay flat.
Yeah, there's not even an inch of space.
I could technically go order perfect sleeves, which are smaller. I don't think it fits. I don't think it will, based on the stack that I'm seeing when I put the cards back in the box with the expansion.
Your height would become an issue.
It would become an issue.
Yeah.
It would stick up.
It would not fit. Yeah. So no sleeving. You can't sleeve it.
Listen, the game is whatever.
Yeah.
I truly believe if the art sucked, this game would not have ever been found. Not because it's bad, because there's 36 of them made every quarter.
Right.
And so...
And this one found a way to be at the top.
Because of the art.
Yeah.
The art's great.
Yeah. The art is really
good.
And
I don't want to insult whoever did it by suggesting it might have been CGI. I can't tell.
There is an artist credited, but...
There's two of them.
Yeah.
But at the same, like, I don't know how you did it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whether it was computer or actual art. Like, either way, I think it's impressive.
Yeah.
So
it's really good.
That's great.
No, the artwork's insane.
But that's the only reason this game has gotten the accolades that it has, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I'm done.
So to balance this out, to bring us back to the medium here.
Bro, please be positive.
Yeah. Let's tone it down, tone it back a little, which I guess that's what I'm doing today. I'm the good cop. You're the bad cop. Between Acropolis.
No, I made Acropolis higher than you did.
That's true. You did.
What are you saying?
We're playing good cop, bad cop routine right here. Because in Acropolis, I was saying the player aids were not as big of a deal. And now I'm saying that this game's fantastic. I'm not saying that. But anyway. So let's be clear. The cards is a gigantic issue and a big problem. So there is a first printing and a second printing. We have the first printing, what, expansion?
The expansion has the first printing. The game that I ordered. And again, you have no control over this.
Yeah.
It's whatever the company has in stock.
Right. So you would have no clue.
That this would even be a thing.
Right.
So I got a second printing of the base game. The expansion was a first printing.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have any control over what you buy. So that's probably happening to a lot of people. So that's incredibly infuriating. When you go to shuffle the deck, it literally flies everywhere because there's like 6 cards in the deck that are 3 times as stiff as the rest of the deck. So my first shuffle, the cards just went like everywhere. They went all over the place because like half in the middle of the deck, there's this stiff card. It's not great. That's unfortunate. I don't know how that happens. You would think that somebody would have caught that, but it did not. And then, yeah, the non-sleeving, that's whatever. The card quality on, again, let's take the non-stiff expansion or the stiff expansion out of it. The regular cards, I don't like. They're really flimsy. They're hard to shuffle because they're so flimsy because they're not stiff. So
yeah, it was just as bad even before adding in the stiffer cards.
You
see this awesome art and then you start to feel the cards. You're like, yeah, why?
They're really, really flexible cards. And that means they're not great thickness and quality in my mind. And so that kind of sucks. But let's say they were stiff and overall, like the game, I think it's a rummy style. Like, I think it's really strong. I like the decisions that you're making. I wouldn't play this game a ton. I think this is like play once or twice and then move on to something else. Maybe. No, I would play this one game.
Not around.
I would play one game of this and move on because I'm not playing this more than once.
Wow. We're just both giving this a ringing endorsement.
No, no. I'm just saying it like if I'm like at the house, like with me and Julia or something, like I'd play one round of this or one game of this, and that's it. I'd move on to something else because I'm not playing this multiple times.
So let me ask you this, because I'm going to spin it back to a positive note, because I do have a positive intention with this game as we wrap up.
Yeah.
Do you see Julia, if she were to play a card game, would she be drawn to play this multiple times?
Somebody like her, yes. I don't know if she would, but...
but in that more like very basic, I just want to play cards.
Yes. No, this fits for a lot of people. It doesn't work for me and you as much, but this game fits for a lot of people I know that just want to play a card game, a rummy style card game. Yeah, hearts, spades, whatever. Like,
sure.
This fits right into that. I know a lot of people that love card games and they want to, you know, this is a great way to introduce something new.
Yeah.
That I would be totally down if they like, hey, I really only play this. This is all I want to play. I'd be like, okay, well, let's try this. So it has a space. But yeah, no, I could definitely see it being used. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it definitely fits in some areas, especially for certain people that like those card games. I think you would like this. If you like those games, if you like Rummy stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this is a great next step because it's adding some different things in there. I like that.
And it's really just different things, right? Like, it's not really a next step. Like, you're increasing the difficulty.
No.
You're just changing the game.
Yeah. Again, I mentioned it before, I guess, again, not trying to end on it. I did say the things that I did like. Like, the cards and the way they play and the set collection, I particularly like. It's just that it feels, at the end of playing the game, after the multiple rounds that we played, I felt like, okay, like I was feeling bored at the end. I would feel bored playing a new game of it. I got the one play. I would come back to it at another time and not be completely bored. Again, Rummy style games, card games are not really my thing, but I liked what this game was doing card wise. I think the art is really good. And so I was pleased with that for sure. So
I can speak to that. You and I played it twice tonight, getting ready to record, and your eyes were completely glazed over in the second game.
Yeah.
Like, just whatever.
Yeah. So on a ranking, again, we just talked about how ranking it up against other things. I mean, like a 5 out of 10, like, it's fine. You're going to rank it lower than that because just a lot of the other things. As a game, I'd put it at, you know, a 4 or a 5. It's good. But a lot of people really like this game, so I'm not going to knock it. I think it's awesome. It has a very high rating and a lot of plays on BGG. It's one of the hottest games on BGG.
A lot of people are talking about this game.
Yeah, a lot of people really like this game. So I'm happy for you. That's awesome. For us, I don't think it's not the same opinion. But I like what it does for the type of game that it is. I think it's adding some different things. So that's good.
So one of the things that I really enjoy about this hobby is being able to teach games to new people.
Yep.
And one thing that this game has challenged me to do is when we go to this con in a couple weeks, I really want to be able to give a positive spin and experience with this game.
Mm.
And so now we'll just see how that goes. And I'll do my best to do that. I've on my own little podcast here for the whole world to hear, I vented my frustrations.
You did.
There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing they're going to do about it. Whatever.
Right.
But it's a game, and I'm happy that I'm going to be able to go and show this game to new people.
Yeah.
And I hope that they love it. I really do.
Yeah.
There's lots of games that I've played in this hobby in my lifetime that I'm like, that just wasn't for me.
Right.
But a lot of people love it. And so if this is your game, please try it out. It's super cheap. Like, it's like $10.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
So, it's the one thing that, especially going in, that I love about the hobby is that, like, there are games for me, there are games for you, and there's games for other people.
That's right.
And they're all games, and it's part of the community, and that's fun. So yeah, going into something like this, of being able to share what we think about this game and our strong opinion of it, or both of the games we talked about today, just we want to teach them and have give somebody an opportunity to play it and or learn about it. And if it's something that you really like if you're like, oh yeah, any Rummy style game I love, I'll buy it all, then honestly, I don't know if we've said anything that's going to take you away from this game.
No.
Because I mean, the card quality is a little, but like any most card game, like card Rummy style, like you're using a deck of cards of some kind, like it gets used a lot. So that's not something they're, you know, not doing.
Mm-hmm. So for my rating, I double checked my Board Game Geek account because I wanted to make sure that I was accurate in what I was about to say.
Okay.
I've given out 3 1s out of 10 in all the games that I've played.
Mm.
The 3 1s.
Yeah.
The first one is Six Siege, the board game.
Yeah.
Because I was very furious at how they treated you and so many other people.
That's not, yeah,
and this is
not even a true
the
game.
The very little bit that I could do yeah. is give it a 1.
Yeah. You and about a million other people.
The second is a little game called Res Publica 2230 AD, which we played at some gaming day, and it somehow showed up, and it was like a quarter-baked game.
Gotcha.
And the last one, and this is the reason I'm bringing this up,
okay,
is Phase 10.
Okay.
Everyone's played Phase 10 or Skip-Bo or something like it.
Yep.
At Grandma's house.
Yep.
This game, to me, is like a step up from Phase 10.
So is it a 2?
It's like a 2.5.
Okay.
If the card quality had been better,
it would be a 3.
I would be willing to give it a 3.5.
I see. Okay.
Because I think there is a place for games that act as a activity for conversation to take place.
That is 100% what this game would do.
It's a very zen, have your tea or coffee or wine or whatever at the table. And it might take, while this game takes you and I like 15 minutes to go through a round.
It says 30 on the box.
I mean, I think over 2 or 3 rounds, we're going to get to there. I think some people could play this game for an hour.
Yeah.
And they're only playing for like 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Because they're just talking and having a good time.
No, I this is a coffee shop.
100%.
I mean, this is on the shelf at the coffee shop.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's great.
That's how I see this game.
And if I saw a bunch of Phase 10 and Skip-Bo, and then I saw this also, this is the one I'm picking up.
Oh, 100%. So I will never play Phase 10 again.
Yeah.
Ever.
So this is the game I'm picking up at a coffee shop if it's one of the limited options for sure.
So that's kind of how I see this game.
Yeah.
I think they really screwed up with the card quality.
It's so weird because it's between printings. So I don't know what the first one was better.
We might find out because I don't think we're using our copy when we go to the con to teach.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they've got. But anyways.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of just weird. That's just a weird, somebody dropped the ball on that one. So usually Pandasaurus is all right, but I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you made it through my rant and negativity and Ian trying his best to bring us back into positivity, I really appreciate you sticking around with us. I know Ian does too. If you have your own feedback or want to give us your thoughts on one of these games, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music.
And very quickly, as I interrupt you.
Oh?
Yes, so during this conference, which will be... it'll be fairly soon after this episode was released, but what is the actual dates? We've got April
26th through the 28th are the days of the con.
Yeah. So April 26th through the 28th, please follow us on specifically probably Instagram. I will be having probably some videos, pictures, and hopefully a live stream of just some...
Oh.
I know. So you'll be able to tune in, ask some questions, or I don't know, just chat with us. So we'll have that available. We'll also have an episode after all that to talk about our experience at this lovely event. But yes, keep an eye out at the end of this month and over that weekend, and we'll be all over Instagram with the live feeds and videos and pictures and all that fun stuff. And so, yeah, just keep an eye out.
Yes. So, Ian, you're correct. We will have all kinds of con content.
Content.
April 26th through the 28th. We're looking forward to that. I'm excited to see what you have in store for us. We will have an episode next week because this is dropping on April 17th. Mm-hmm. So we'll have one Wednesday, April 24th, before we leave for the con. And then after the con, on May 1st, will be our post-con episode where we kind of react to the convention, talk about games that we got to play and things that we liked, and just kind of give a general recap of that.
Yeah.
But as far as next week, you and I will figure that out, and it'll be a nice surprise for everybody.
That's right. We'll surprise you.
Surprise! In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
That's right.